Always love to fellowship with you all and meet you years ago. It's becoming a lot of years now. And these girls are not little kids no more. They're growing up. Ain't that something?
Right.
My, my. Before you know it, there'll be young ladies and marrying. His son married now, got babies and all that stuff,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And that's a blessing. You say, well, in a matter of, it's been a trying time. We might as well just face it. It's a trying time.
Amen.
In the last 2 or 3 months, I buried my brother, which is was a preacher, and buried her sister just Friday or Saturday. Before that, we buried some great men. And death is all around us. Unbelievable. It's also in our country and the deaths that all the time you look on the news, dying. Dying. And I've never spent, young people, I've never spent a Christmas time like this. I mean, we wasn't in this kind of condition when I was, even back through the time. We're in a terrible shape. Now, I'm not up here to cause you discouraged. I'm up here to say you're going to have to come to reality.
Sure.
This is what's taking place. This is what's happening. This is what's around us. And you say, well, what is supposed to be done? You've got to hear God. You've got to hear God in the midst of that. You've got to learn how to listen to God and hear His voice in the midst of the darkest hour. You're going to have to learn how to, when it comes in your life, you know, and the places that you get into, you better hear the voice of God. And the only one that can hear His voice is those that's been born of the Spirit. Hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now the key to all this before is that you must be born again. You must get saved. And in the area of the agony of it, to bring these people to salvation is coming in a matter now that has never been like before. I never seen such means of people in the matter of their distraught, their discouragement, their distress. You want some alliteration? That's the only thing that impresses these preachers. You know, they have a burden for God to move in their lives. The need. I was going to preach on prayer. I said, I ain't going to preach on prayer because I'm too guilty of it. You know what I mean? I get myself under conviction when I preach about prayer. You know, I get under conviction about it. I don't want to preach on it. So, because I don't want to preach on something I ain't going to do. You understand what I mean? If you ain't going to do it, don't preach it. And then you start preaching it, then you get under conviction. You know what? I don't know why I need to be doing that. This Word of God is just as much for me as it is for you. And the matter of the preaching of it is we declare it. And when we declare it, it's not what thus said Brother Harvey. And it's not what thus said Brother John. It's what thus saith the Lord God. What He says out of His Word. And it's not no matter where you feel about it. It ain't a matter how you want to receive it or not. He declares unto you. He don't ask for your only opinion about it. God said it's sin. God said it's sin. Not a matter of me. God said it. Okay? Then God said there's a Savior. There's a Savior. He wants to save you from your sin. Amen. Can't get a hold of that nowadays because they don't sin no more. People don't sin no more. Even you, as a believer, you've got things in your own life. It's not sin no more. Used to be sin in your life, but it ain't no more. You know, you just let it go on in your life. Let it go on. And we don't get close to God. I'm preaching to me now. Just preaching to me. So I used to be, you know, when I first started for God, you couldn't even breathe right. I mean, everything you've done was sin. I mean, I couldn't even do anything right. Everything was, I don't care if you even looked wrong. You're sinning, you know. Everything was sin. Everything was sin. You know, I don't see that in these believers nowadays. They say they get saved. They just go on back to what they were doing before. Just go on back doing what they were before. So when you get saved, I mean, man, everything in your life, you say, God, help me, help me. You know, help me, Lord, help me. Well, that's not the message on Christmas Day, is it? No. So I'm trying to get away from it. And I want to preach out of Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. I want to preach on, I got news for you. Standing on, read the word of God. So, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Let me go on down a little more. Bear you one another's burdens, and not fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let me pray. Father, I thank you for the word of God and the things that you have done in the midst of all these days, and as a matter of where we're in this moment. And then God, others that I've talked to and I saw in the matter of all the funerals and the people that we have been around in these days. And I pray that this morning with this church and Brother John and the need of this place and this house, and that God, what is to be said this morning, I could say with that which you would be approved of. And let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. And I pray for these that are sitting here, and then, Lord, for the day, if you give us the whole day. And I'll give you the praise for this moment. In Jesus' name, please help us in your name. Amen. Amen. There's an old song that goes like this. The chimes of time ring out the year, another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? You may have longed for added strength, your courage to renew. Do not be discouraged. I have news for you. Amen. I won't preach on I have news for you. Amen. I got news for you today. Amen. In that word, or in that chapter, or in the first chapter, first verse in chapter 6, you find the word fault. That word fault means to slip. You slipped and fell. Have you slipped in life and fell? You have. Somebody say, yeah. Have you got a fault? You got faults in your life? You better believe you have. There was one that was faultless, wasn't he? What did Pilate say that? I find no fault in him. There's no fault in Jesus, but you are. You have fault. You will slip. The chimes of time ring out the year. The time, the old preacher used to say, when that we used to have the a fellowship or a Thanksgiving service every year at the Tabernacle, Dr. Jones' church. And this old preacher years ago, as I was pastoring then, he got up, you know, Kenny Stubbs, I don't know if you know him. And he got up on that last night on midnight. Well, we'd have that Thanksgiving service, and friend, sometimes we wouldn't get out to 2 o'clock in the morning. It'd get on so bad. He'd get on such a way. And all the preachers in the area would come. It's not like it is now. You can't get preachers to get together for 5 seconds, you know. I mean, you can't do it. But that being all of them in the area, and most of them are dead now. Kenny Stubbs dead too. But he got up there in Tabernacle at that time. I say there's probably around 12 to 17 preachers sitting on that front seat. And that old timer went down through there. He said, "Time will tell the story on every one of you boys. Time tells the story on your life. And the times of chiming out the year, another day is through. Someone slipped and fell." Was that someone you? Was that someone you? You may be discouraged, for his strength be renewed. Let me say a few things about the fault in the context. And then I'll give you those three things that just more down to your learning. That chapter, that verse is there, deals with restoration. Deals with restoration to restore such a one. In the spirit of meekness, lest thou also be tempted. In the matter of that, before that is how to be that ye who are spiritual among you. And the only way to be the spiritual one is the preceding verse or chapter when it talks about led by the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit in your life. You've got to be spiritual. You've got to walk in the Spirit. You've got to be led by the Spirit. I don't need no more psychological analyzation. I don't need another psychiatrist. What we need is some spiritual people. And all these spiritual people have left us. There ain't many left. And there's some sitting in a seat. Ye must become spiritual. You must be able to understand how to restore such a one. You know, and faults is a matter of that in Matthew about a brethren being overtaken. If you might have fault, go to him, speak to him. And if you don't, take him for the church. You know? But nowadays, my people, you listen to him. We have such a matter of in our midst. And some of you young people, you're young. And this responsibility of what to be done, as you've got to grow in the Lord. You've got to grow up and be spiritual in God, because we don't have many. We don't have them no more. There's not an older one sitting among us nowadays. All we have is a bunch of young people, and most of the churches are being built by young people. The whole is good, getting the young people and the young people to build a church. Why? Because that's all we got left. I don't see no mature older ones. All I see about the older ones is God's taking them out. And what does it say? But I'll get to the burden of this, and it's not real bad. I'm just getting you in a place where you'll receive what I've got to say to you. Well, see, what's wrong with most of this outfit nowadays is you're not going to be able to get to a spiritual life. If you don't like rebuke, you're a fool. Proverbs says that. My daughters, they don't get mad at me when I start getting all over. You know, because they will listen to God. Dad loves them. Dad loves them. And he's got to have some wisdom about him on reproving his children. He's got to have a little wisdom about him. You know, he can't lay in on them and provoke them to anger.
Amen, preacher.
You know, and if you'll teach them and talk to them rightly as a father. And as one that would take the lead your head. And most of the days, young men, we don't have it. You want to be a dad. You want to be a father. Well, that's your responsibility as a man. Quit running from it. You know, quit running from your responsibility as a man. You know? And then another thing, woman. I didn't want to get here. I get too bad right here. Quit trying to take the man's place. She can be sober. She can be sound. But she ought to be sentimental. She ought to have a softness about her. She ought to have a womanish about her. She don't need manliness. That's what's messing our children up now. This bunch of, they're making men out of women and women making men. That's all we see. Now they're promoting it in such a way that our kids don't even understand. It's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong. Amen. Transgender, everything you can talk about. Don't you know how that's, well, that's, I don't need to get that in the message. That ain't what I want to go toward. Ye are spiritual. We need some spiritual people. And I want to tell you something else, men. You girls, your place of praying is morning. But I'd like to find again in the prayer rooms, brother, some men trying to lay hold on God. You don't even have a prayer room now. Prayer meeting on Wednesday night, they don't think nothing about it no more. And prayer meeting on Wednesday night, mostly just a little Bible study time. I'm not against Bible study, understand what I mean? It's called prayer meeting. When I was a boy, we'd have a choir. We didn't have a choir then, didn't have half as many people in Herman as there is now. Herman didn't have about 3,000 people when I was a boy. They were running about 20,000 or more down there, and they're unbelievable. You know, and when I was a boy, we had a prayer meeting out there, and half of the town was in the church. Half all that. I mean, we run Harriman, Tennessee. Them Baptist churches ran that little town. High schools, too. You know? What do you say? What do you mean? Well, that's all of our family. It was all the people from the community. It was our children and the ones that were there. And we didn't have no colleges that were perverting the minds of the instructor teachers. All we had was a bunch of gray-headed ladies sitting in that hallway, buddy, and you better walk right down through there, and they would tell you this. I don't want to get on it. I tell too many stories, and I'll never get to the message. They'd sit in that hallway, and you come walking down through there, and you straight up, and they had a dress on, ladies. Well, I've got to tell my own grandkids that they won't come over Pop's house looking like they look. They will come. And do you get all over them? Mm-mm. No, you know, they'll know. They'll say, Pop. I said, yep. It's good to see you, Pop. You know, then we'll talk a while, you know. Would you? No, man. You know, who's supposed to bring your grandkids up? I'll get to my daughters and my son-in-law. You raise them now, big boy. It's your turn. Right. You know, I raised you, now you raise yours. Right. You know, how do I raise them? The same way I raised you. Be wise about it. Be wise about taking care of your children. You going to have a battle raising those kids up to be godly? Oh, I'm so sorry. Yes, you are. Right. Well, who's going to be your battle? The world? The flesh and the devil? What you trying to do? Destroy your children? That's what he wants to do too. He wants to destroy them. How many preachers? I don't want to get there. I want to stay with this message. Will you pray right hard and say, can't Brother Harvey stay with the message? All right? Stay with the message. Hey, the area of that which is spiritual, the spiritual person. And the word restore, and I'll get as fast as I can. To restore such a one. And I look through the word restore, and I'll give you these things, and if I don't run too many things when I get out. And Isaiah talks about in chapter 40, about he says that the shepherd will feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. In the understanding, there is the shepherd gathering up that lamb. And that lamb has been broken some way or another. And he picks him up with his arms. And he puts him in his bosom. and he carries him in his bosom. And he carries him around because he's got a broken arm. He's got a broken thigh. That word restored to me, restore a broken bone, broken lives. That fault to slip or comes a broken place in your life. And going to restore it or going to rewrite it, going to mend it. And someone's got to restore that. Restore it. So in Isaiah 40, it talks about the shepherd picking the one up and putting him in his bosom and carrying him around. You know, there, why did he put him in his bosom? That's close to his heart. You know, it's close to his heart. He picks him up, puts him there and carries that broken lamb around and carries him around in next to his heart. The difference between that shepherd and the one over in Luke 15 is the shepherd went after the lost sheep. He went to find the lost sheep and then he picked him up and put him on his shoulders. Amen. He didn't put him in his bosom. He put him on his shoulders where the strength is at, where the power is at, where the rule is at. He's on his shoulders. But when he has fallen, he's broken. He picks him up from the brokenness and puts him in his heart, puts him close to his bosom and carries him around. And he's mending him. He's mending him. And he gently, he said, and that shepherd gently will lead the ones that with lambs that are in the way with another sheep or lamb. He said, you'd lead them on gently. So what's the understanding there? The understanding there is this, that the Lord will take care of the lamb that's broken by putting him in his bosom and carrying him around. He'll restore him. He'll restore him. He'll restore his life. He'll mend that bone. That's a spiritual person to learn how to pick up a lamb that's broken in life, that's fallen in their way, fallen during the time of that, and put them in their place to your heart, bring them up next to your heart, carry them around, restore them spiritually, amen. And tell you, because you know one thing, the reason that you do that, he says, you better take heed lest ye fall. Amen. You better take heed lest ye fall. You're not one of us here this morning. How many preachers have fallen in the way when they try to take care of lambs? How many of you'll find out later on? Here he is. He done run off. He's done with one. He's done life. He's done going out with his life. And trying to take care of that broken lamb, he's got to be careful. He's got to be spiritual or he will fall himself. Take heed lest ye fall. God is not mocked whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You've got to be in the spiritual way. You got to be in the way. And then he's got to understand about the matter of those sheep. I might be preaching to you, me and you, okay? So here in that chapter 40, he's lording over those sheep. Those sheep could have been broken by a rod. That shepherd can take a rod and break that sheep's leg because he don't want to stay with the sheep. Keeps wanting to run off, keep running off. And God is a rod. He'll take a rod and break his leg. You know, keep running and running and running and running off. God will break your leg. I just keep wondering about my own self here lately. I finally got me a nice pickup. This my grandson gave it to me, and it's real nice. I mean, and beautiful pickup, you know, because most everything I've got down through my years has been given to me. When I went to pastor, most everything is the people of God give it to me. You said, was you not able to? Oh, yes, I could have went on and made a lot of money. But I've watched it, and you say, well, how did you live? I lived with what they had. That's how high I lived with what they, you know. So he gave me that truck, and my man was happy. I'm having that truck, and I'm driving that truck around. Here, I'm about to get on you women again. Here we go again. I was coming up to going toward the hospital, and I was right. I'm going to give her credit. She didn't see me. I was sitting this one on the slice lane right beside a big truck, and she thought that truck was going to turn in there. She thought she didn't see me on the other side. She come on out there, and it's too late, man. I flipped that truck around. She hit the right in the side, bent my frame. Didn't hurt her at all. broke a rib on me. All right? So I got lost my truck. It totaled it. All right? It wasn't long after that I'd getting over that rib. Now building a deck on my plow set. God gave me during all this stuff. Ain't that something? Anyway, during all this thing and trouble, God got, I got me and my wife always wanting, she, in that whole thing, we got the house anyway. So I started working on it. And I was out there working on it, and I was building a double deck, and the bottom deck was there, and I let a lot of loose boards laying there. So I went back over there and I was going to pick one up, and I flipped that board, and it flipped me up there, and I landed on the other side, hit a four before, and broke a rib again. Now, this is what I'm talking about broken. I'm talking about broken now. And when I got up, I didn't start crying. You know what I said? I said, God, give me a break. He said, I did. I did. I broke your boat. I did give you a break. You know, the second time broke my ribs. And then I said, well, lay off me. I'm getting tore up. I mean, I'd have enough problem with the brethren, let alone get broke with that. You know, so you know, God said, I did. So sometimes he might just break your bones. What's he want to do to break you down? What's it going to take, Brother Harvey, to break you down? To what? To humbleness, to humility, compassion, concern, watching the people with broken lives and still trying to be in such a way. I'm telling you, it's tearing me up watching the situations and talking to the teacher and the young people. They're so confused. It's unbelievable. I'm not saying that in a sense of confusion, but her son, or in that meeting, or what meeting was in, but God will just give you a special attention to one. You'll just pull them out, man. You might not know for nobody, but you'll start seeing them. And the Lord will let you get you, and you just take every avenue as a man of God and as a spiritual person in the church that's watching over the church. Some of you men watching over the church. Watch for those lives that come in here that's all messed up. Don't have nobody to help them. And get spiritual about it. Don't get so carnal about it in a matter of your terminology and your understanding according as man has taught. You get taught of that book. You get taught by the Word of God. The only way to counsel somebody is counsel them out of the Word of God. To tell them what's right about the Word of God. And if you don't know it, you can't counsel nobody. If you don't know that Bible, I'm sorry, lady. Man, you're going to get it today. I don't want to do that, but listen to me. Because I'm already reputated that I beat women up. So amen. So you're going to get it, all right? And the problem where we're at today is we need some spiritual people. We need some people to see the needs of others and get their eyes off of themselves and what they want and what they care about and what am I going to get out of God is what are you going to give God? You want to build a church, give your life to it. You want to see this church grow, start giving your life to the growth of this church. Our fathers gave their lives to the church. The church was the center of my life and my home. Everything of our lives revolved around the church, not the ball field. You say, did you play ball? Yeah, I played ball all over the country. I played ball as a little boy, a young boy. But I never did get to go play until I got my work done. You go play after you get to the garden hole. You go play after you get all that done. Then you can go play. Ain't that way nowadays, buddy. You know? You say, what about on Sunday? Oh, man, that ain't... Well, do you play ball on Sunday? My goodness, you think so? They didn't even have ball games on Sunday then. That was the Lord's day. You didn't have places open. Definitely you wasn't going to get anybody selling beer. Oh, you ain't never heard nothing like that, have you? What are we living in nowadays? You think God's changed his mind about it? You think he's going to change his word about it? No. You know, so well, why do you come back? Oh, my goodness, man. This, and it, you know, what? It, they don't even know what sin is. Man, that ain't what I want to preach now. Restoration, a broken bone. That one that the Lord, that Isaiah 40, then you have that the lording over sheep. Then you have the leading of the sheep. And then the broken bone over Psalm 51. I'm not going to get by that. That's what I was doing in there. Psalm 51 said, Lord, you would not despise a broken spirit, would you? You wouldn't despise a broken spirit. You know why? You, that word despise, the broken spirit in Psalm 51, is the same word that Nathan rebuked David over the adulterous affair. He said, thou hast despised the commandments of God, David. You despise, you thought down, you think down on the word of God. You take it lightly. You sit there and you read that word. You take it lightly. You think down on it. That's what it means to think down on. Just despise it. You think down. It ain't nothing. You know, I just carry it around as a little charm piece. Listen, young people, when my kids got married, got saved at 16 years old, I couldn't keep them out of the Bible. When them young people got saved down our gateway when they were just 15, 16 years ago, son, they would have been there every youth meeting in the, on the evenings right before church time. You couldn't keep them out of the Bible. They were in there hungry and thirsty, wanting that Bible. I'm telling you, 16 years old now. And they went out of church on Sunday and they go to school in public school and they'd be putting tracts in the teacher's office. They're putting tracts in that's going down the hallways and putting out tracts. You wouldn't do that. They won't let you nowadays. They stand on the street and tell people about the Lord. Two of them were all state football players. One of my son-in-law. Before they'd go play a game, they'd be talking about the Lord there in the dressing room. Amen. Before they do anything, they'd be telling about the Lord. They'd be preaching about the Lord. Hey, when I got saved, I didn't become ashamed of him. I wasn't ashamed of the Lord. I wasn't ashamed. And I don't know anybody, Brother John. Don't give me any kind of salvation if you don't want to go tell somebody. I don't want to hear about you getting born again if you don't want to go tell somebody what happened to you. You go tell somebody what you happened to you, that's the best thing ever. If you got saved, that's the best thing ever happened to you. And you keep telling yourself that, won't you start telling everybody else about it? Won't you tell everybody else about your great salvation? Why don't you jump up one time crying your eyes out, shouting it out, saying, I got saved, hallelujah. One day I got born again. I know the place that I bow my knees to God. I know where it was. In that place right there is when I gave my life and gave my heart to Jesus Christ. It ain't a matter of your thinking it. It's a matter of your commitment to God in your place. Wherever it's at, you better have a place where you gave your life to God.
That's right.
It ain't a matter of your thoughts. You might say you had a kid. You better know the place that you bowed to Jesus.
Right.
It's the day we're living in. And that's the only thing I can tell is, I'm not trying to make you doubt. You better start checking yourself out. And it's not a matter of where you're doing right and doing this and doing that. It's a matter of when somebody come into your life that never been in there before and he put a desire in you. And he put a hunger and he put a love for him that you didn't have. Going to church, singing, putting a Bible in your hand, doing right, that ain't salvation. Salvation is when you meet a person. Salvation is when you meet a person of the Holy Ghost in your heart. Somebody comes in your life that was never there before. We were talking about it, brother. We were talking about it. That place. I didn't want to preach this. That ain't what is in there. But it's so nowadays. I was at that funeral with my family's man's bunch of boys, and they come up to me and hit Brother Donnie, Uncle Donnie, and you know, and I listen to them, and you know, and there's such a stress in their life. One of them now is a big counselor and everything else. And we were talking about it. I said, what do you tell him? He's got to tell him what the state says for him to talk to him as counselor. I said, what are you going to tell him about? Tell him about the Lord. You know, what this generation needs is the Lord. What they need is to hear the gospel. You tell that to our government. They need the gospel is what this area needs. They need the gospel in America. They need some preachers. I'm preaching it with power. I'm preaching it a demonstration of the Holy Ghost. And will make these people say, what are you hollering about? What are you screaming about? What are you declaring it like that for? I'm telling you, if you're not got born in the Spirit, if the Holy Ghost had brought you to a place and you said, Lord, I'm a sinner, and I must be born again. I want you to save me. I want you to save me.
Amen.
I'm telling you. You want to know why the churches are dead? Because most of the members are. Still dead. When God resurrects you, when He revives you, when you might be alive, be dead in your sins as far as a believer. But there's a revival ought to come in your life. There ought to be a resurrection in your life. All the way down through time. I've been at it now for quite a while. I'm 74. And He resurrects me every morning. Amen. He resurrects me every morning. When I start reading His Word and start talking to Him. My goodness gracious. This shepherd with a broken life. This one with a broken life. David in restoring. And then he said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. I'm going to get back on it again. Restore unto me the what? The joy. I said the joy. Of whose salvation? Thy salvation. You know. How does that mean his salvation? He saved you, buddy. It was Him that saved you. It was His salvation. It was Him that raised you up. It was Him that saved you. You can't save yourself. Old timers, you can't pull yourself up with your bootstraps. You can't do it yourself. You can't do it at all. Ain't no way you can do it. There's only one that can save you, and that's the Lord. That's when that old boy, whatever your brother here is, I'll get your name out before it's over with, and then I'll forget it. You know, we'll forget it after a while. I'll forget it. I won't be able to remember it before you go out the door. But anyway, I wasn't even thinking about preaching right here, but listen to me. I've never been among so many that's got that about Jesus, but they do not possess Him. How do I know you're saved? Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Full of glory. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, the half has never yet been told. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's joy. It is joy to be saved. It is joy to be. I don't want none of this sour puss. They say you got salvation, and they say all you are is so doctrinally and so that word don't mean nothing to you. It don't mean a thing to you. You just perform with that book in your hand and it's never spoke to your heart. Woo! That's old time preaching, you kids. And preachers get out there and they get to preaching and they go, woo! Woo! They didn't have the stinking education you got. You know, them preachers that go to seminary and they come back home. Say, boy, you went away here with God all over you. What happened to you?
Right.
Come back dead at 4 o'clock.
Right.
I know that ain't too popular, but it's right.
That's
Oh, Brother Sammy said, I don't know much, but what I know it pretty good. I know it pretty good. He used the word pretty. He means pretty. It's pretty good. Amen. He'd look at you and look like he'd look straight through you, wouldn't he? Son, that's power. That's power. We don't have it. We don't have it. How do you get it? The message I didn't want to preach on. Prayer. Prayer. Young men, some of you young, I was raised in a praying church, man. Then that prayer room would ring out. We'd come up out of the prayer room and shout. We'd come up out of the prayer room, and there's always one of those wet blankets in there. You know, you come by. Well, you didn't. The Lord can hear you. You didn't have to holler like that. I said, I just want to make sure he did. You know, I just want to make sure that he did hear me. Well, you know. Yeah, and I'll label you too. You know. Mark them. Did it not say Romans? Mark them. You mark people by their conversation. You know. You better be real careful, you know. I mean, somebody don't want to talk to you sometimes because they get the stuttering real good, you know. There's one thing about it. There's one sister in here. You just don't mention the word of God. Then you don't get another word in after she gets done. And I like it. Don't you get me wrong. I like it. I like it, man. And she's going to get around where anybody talk about God. She's going to get in on it. And her husband said, what are you hanging around here for? She said, you heard them talking about it when you went by. And said, well, you know, she hears you talk about the Lord. She won't talk about it. I had sisters like that too. You know, it would be all right, a bunch of you hens, a bunch of you ladies, just get such a, you shut her up and won't let her have a time to talk. Say, I got something to say, you know. I want to talk about him. I want to speak about him, amen. Hey, there ought to be a work in our heart. I don't want to get away from this, but we're in a day. I haven't got long, Brother John, and my days are few, and no man of God have left. And I told God that if I come to the door, and I tell him, man, if you want me to come, call me, and John call me to come and be part of it. I hope the motive of it is right. He wanted me to be with you all. He wanted me to be with you, and we had such a relationship. But he's got to take a chance or whatever it is. This is the way it was when me and him met. This is the way it was over Rocky Branch. This is the way it was when we come in there and we started preaching God and preaching like it is. It ain't changing for this crowd. I ain't changing for it. They can be starch deadhead if they want to be. They can be so great in the area of the scriptures, which you ought to be. You ought to know the word of God. But I want to find some, Brother John, that want to preach with power in their life and want to preach with God on them. And you might not find them after a while. They might be so full of God. You say, what happened to our preacher? He's all running up and down the aisle. He's just standing up here looking at me, and he's hollering at me with all of his heart, and his heart's boiling out that you might hear the word of God. And he's telling him, and he said, what happened to him? They said that they were going to go hear Billy Sunday preach. He used to throw chairs and everything else. And they went to hear Billy Sunday. He was preaching like fire. He was going on. And he said, he might not believe what, I might not believe what he's saying, but he believes it. Yeah. They went to see him burn. They go see him burn. What was the great preacher that said he had preached for about 2 hours and he went back and they followed him to his house and he went up in the top, you know, and Whitfield. He came out to the end of that. This is the story. put a candle on it, and I don't know, maybe we all get it all different. And he said, I'll preach till the light goes out. The light that's not too far away going out in my life could be today. This virus, this corona thing. I said, I put James Lockhart in the grave here not long ago. Death's everywhere. Turn around, and it ain't at Christmas. My daughter died of cancer. You have Christmas now, and there's somebody missing. She's missing. She's sitting there. I told my kids Thanksgiving, I'm not going to get to it. I might just get that, say three things there. I'm not going to run away from what God wants me to say to people. In fact, in the area, and this must be the message in the matter of all the days nowadays. I told my grandkids Thanksgiving, they're all sitting there, every one of them. They're all sitting there at Thanksgiving. The Thanksgiving time is tough. You know, and they're all sitting there. And I looked at them because when Pop, I'm Pop, you know. You know, when I'm in there, you know, everything's, they, you know. That's not that they don't, Pop's here. You know, and it's not that they give show disrespect. Hi, Pop. How you doing, Pop? You know. And the kids, the grandkids too. I looked around before I left. You know, I was leaving out. They had to play games. What's all this game stuff? You got to play games all the time. My outfit's just as bad as you are. Every time you come to her house, you got to play games. I said, well, I'm not right. I'm not against that. You know what I mean? You know, Pop, you go, when I came a man, I put away childish things. I didn't say nothing like that. I mean, when I grew up, it's for kids. Let kids play, Mom and Daddy. Let them play. It's all right. Ain't nothing wrong for kids to play. Won't you grow up? Now, there's a different story with these babies now. They're little bitty things. You know, you got to know how to do that. Mama knows how to do that. I don't. I can't do that. Something about me can't go goo-goo-goo. I just can, but that woman can do it real good. She can do it real good. You know what I mean? She knows how to handle that. But you just might as well get, you've been around Pop, he's just stern looking all the time, you know. Old sour puss, that's all he is, you know. He goes, all the time looking at you. And I said, well, I don't know. He said, we all see your face when you preach. It's like I'm going to kill somebody. You know? That's what they'd say. Now, when you come to hear Daddy preach, that's when they're teenagers. Now, he's not after you. He said, I said, what are you trying to do? Explain me, Buff? You know? You ain't going to explain it. You got in one way. I preached your little old hearts at the church, you know. You're just as much going to get as the rest of them. You know? Now, this is just plain, simple preaching. But it'll do you a lot of good if you put it in practice. Just the simplicity of living for Christ. Now, you young people, I'm going to get so serious right now that I might be able to show you exactly what it means to live for Christ. Barefooted babies and biscuits. That'll take care of it. That'll take care of it real good. Barefooted is the Mary, bare children is babies, and the guy in the house is biscuits. That's a new translation. Amen. You need to learn how to cook. You need to learn how to get that. And somebody knows how to cook around here, buddy. I'm going to tell you, this is good cooking. I would come for it. No, I love John too much. And he ain't got none of this preaching the last month or two. I hadn't called him, so I just brought it up here, all right? It's usually on the telephone, ain't it? You know? He's usually on the telephone. Hey, the simplicity of living for Christ. You know, it's Christmas time. We ought to be talking about the babe in the manger and talking about Jesus as born as a babe and still a Santa Claus and all the commercial stuff and putting your little trinkets up and throwing your little snowmans up and getting all this other worldly stuff up. I tell them about Jesus. Hey, when I was a boy and we'd meet together as a Christmas time, my brother was a preacher, older one. He don't preach now because of his age and also other things. But we'd go over there and we'd meet. Woo! And the girls would play the piano. The daughters would sing and would sing about the Lord. And when they get done singing, my brother would preach the message there. And my mama would be sitting there shouting. She'd be shouting, praising the Lord. And he said, and what would she be? She'd be acting like an old mother wet hen. You better not bother my baby. You just want me to leave my baby alone. I don't care what they got to say. That's my baby. You tell that bunch down to church to leave my baby alone. You know, I'll take care of my baby. You know, we have women that get into it, you know, over their children. That, you know, and that father's got to calm the thing down because these mamas get all over each other about their kids, you know. You better start taking pay attention to my kid. I pastored for 20 years, so I know all about it. And it's simple. It's simple. Make your home around Christ. Make your house, your talent. You tell your children you devote that talent to Christ. I've got two great pianists, my grandson and my niece. Well, I've got three. Now I've got a granddaughter. She plays the piano for Liberty, you know. And I didn't agree with it, but she went on anyway. She finished cum laude with the Grove Chords LUT on music. Never made a less than a 4. Point of her whole life. And when she learned how to play, she teaches piano now and she teaches in a Christian school. But when she learned how to play the piano, she got the same admonition that the pianist at Herman Baptist Tabernacle, which is my niece, that talent belongs to the church. The talent belongs to the church, not that our area that we're having a competition down here. And where you can come down here and be approved of being in all this. Oh, my, Brother Harvey, my. Hey, friend. Where's the one that ought to be on this piano? Where are you at, young lady? Where are you at? Where are you at on that piano? You know, say, well, she's going to do it. Well, Mama, why don't you help her do it? In other words, how do you get her to do it? Get in there and get your piano done. But if she loves it, it won't be hard to do that. She'll just have weariness of flesh. Sometimes she don't feel like doing anything. But she'll have to learn how to put it under discipline. Well, that ain't the message, brother. Well, you want to be happy during the Christmas season. I want to have joy. I want to be able to sit and feel like good. The only way you're going to have any joy and any happiness at Christmas time is you better have Jesus exalted in your life. He ought to be most important. It's just fellowship together. But what makes it great is that you know the Lord and your family knows God and your children love the Lord and they love the church. They don't love to see you come every once in a while and put your little set there and I showed up. Hey, that won't get it, buddy. That won't get it. They need to see that you love God, and even in the midst of the time of season, we don't have it no more. I'm sorry. They're all dead and gone. You hear me, young people, and you hear you ones that are my age. We're failing our kids. For what God taught us through our parents. You know. No wisdom. Whatsoever. I'm at you men, man. So come on, man. Hang on. Don't get too mad at me. Because it's just as bad, man. Does your children know and hear you reading the Word of God? You know what touched my daughter's heart the most? She said, Dad, I couldn't stand you praying under my bedroom every night. Said, you're praying for me, got me. the song, and I'll quit it. I'll quit it. It is no secret what God can do. He reveals His power to you. There ain't no secret of the power of God in the lives of people. I know many men. There's no secret what God can do. You've seen it all around. You've known it every place. There ain't no secret about the power of God on people's lives. There ain't no secret about His power. You know people, and I know people, that God's power is in their life. It's not the praise of men. This bunch of stuff is making me sick. You're seeking the praise of men, still in God. You're seeking a pat on the back from a man. And I'm not elevating him one time, I'm not going to pat him on the back. He don't need it. Bless God, he's right at it all he's having. He gives himself devoted to the Scriptures. In fact, I might be patting you on the back. Just don't think about it, all right? So anyway, you know, but he gives himself to the Word of God, don't he, Dot? Go in there in his library. Can't even find a place to sit down. I can't stand a man got a mind like that. You know what I'm saying? He can catch everything and smart and got all that. He can catch them all. And it takes me 30 minutes to learn how to play a guitar, eh, brother? Just going on. But them hands not letting up, though. Them fingers are still getting it, buddy. Yeah, they're still getting it, you know. They hadn't lost any memory whatsoever, you know. Amen. Hey, we need some to get to the church. Love the church, barefooted Mary. I don't care what this bunch says. Mary in the Lord. Mary in the Lord. Get away from anything that don't want to live for God. He don't want to honor God, or she don't want to honor God. Have nothing to do with it. Find that one in the church somewhere. Amen. Little old girl down there, one of them churches, brother. She wanted Tyler, my grandson. She said, "Brother Donnie, would you tell Tyler to ask me to go in?" I said, "Listen, young lady. I said, it's for a man to find a wife, find a woman, not the woman to run her one down." You know what she said? "Would you tell him where I'm at, Brother Donnie?" Did you tell him where I'm at? I said, "That got me there, buddy. That shot me." I just turned my head and walked away. She come back, buddy. She went and moved to another church, and she's married a preacher now. I get to marry him. She found that one man up there in that other church, you know, and they called me and said, "Would you marry us?" And I said, "I sure will." You know, and Mary. I think that's going to be my famous message nowadays. But the only way I can get it at these kids. Barefooted babies and biscuits. I won't see you cook a biscuit. Sit in there and watch them making them biscuits. Amen. You know, mama's sitting there, mama, you know, just. Hey, you might think I'm running off as far as preaching the message, but that's your problem. I said, that is your problem. The simplicity of life. Bear a heritage. Build your houses, Jeremiah said to him in Babylon. Build your houses. Bear a heritage. And then beg for peace. That's the three manners there. They were in Babylon, brother. He said, "What are we going to do in this 70 years of captivity?" Build your houses. Bury your heritage, then beg for peace. He reveals his power. He's no respect to person. He is not neglecting because he's respecting. He is not a respect to person. It's not that he's not neglecting you. He's not neglecting this generation. It's yours. It's up to you. You can have as much as God as you want. You can get as close to Him. You can have the life with Christ, but it'll be Him. That you got to come to a place that He gets you. He ain't worried your head. He wants your heart. Then respect a person in life. Receive his promises. At the end of that, he said, never will be alone wherever you may roam. Prone to wonder was the old song. You'll never be alone. I've said, you can't you say that? God has always been with you. Never alone where you may roam. And I know I'm long, that's what gets me in trouble about long preaching. But I taught my people, you didn't come to get out. You come to get in. And I'm not trying to please. I didn't I'm not trying to please the congregation that comes in. I said, it's a long preaching. But if you get preaching and God gets in it and the people get in it, then that person was going to come or they're going to reject. You know? But my goodness, why don't we, if the people are in such a condition themselves, it's time to go home. We got to go. You didn't need to go come. You didn't come for the right purpose. Amen. You come to worship. And you come to get the preacher to preach. You come to sing. And when preaching time comes, you'll be praying for the preacher. I'd sit on a bench right when I was just a young preacher, and I'd be crying at the invitation. Brother Jones gave the invitation. It wouldn't be 12 o'clock either. Sometimes it'd be around 1 o'clock. Sometimes it'd be 12:30. Sometimes it'd be 12 o'clock. But we got a generation that tried to find something real in their life, trying to say, I'm going to perform in religion. It stinks. It ain't worth a nickel. I don't want religion. I want salvation, buddy. I want God to be in my heart with power and with joy and with rejoicing, with shouting and praying. Amen. Amen. And son, he said to the baby, though, he has revealed his power in the generation before you. I'm the generation before you, and ain't long. I'm ready to get out of this much a mess anyway. But I can't. I've got a younger generation. I've got some young people. I've got some grandkids, and I don't care what it is. I'm not looking for me. I'm glad you asked me to come. I want to set the place with my grandkids to learn that you love God and it becomes a place in your life that you totally surrender and you give yourself completely to God. And this bunch that God's dealing with now, you ought to have compassion on them. You ought not, you know, and have concern about it. But I never seen such weak, anemic, so-called Christians that's been saved all their life and still can't even talk about God, have no spiritual discernment. They're walking around the way they are, and most of them ain't walking no more. Most of them are taken out, and some of the righteous are taken out. But I tell you, don't change the way. If you young generation want to come on to God, give it up, big boy. Give it up, young lady. Give it all to God. Give every bit of it to God. Make God the first thing in your life. Want to get in the choir. Want to come to prayer room. Want to see God do something in the church. Can't stand there and keep you quiet. You got to jump up and tell about the Lord. I'd rather shut them down than try to pump them up. And I don't want to pump their minds up, brother. I don't want to fill their minds with a lot of stuff that they don't do. He's no respected person. He can do that in you. But he said to come unto him and he receive his promises. To receive the promises of God. Now I'm not living on positive thinking. You think real positive, you know, you feel a whole lot better. I'm not living on positive thinking. I'm living on the promises of God. According to his promises. That's faith. Promises of God. What will he promise? Just check his promises out. Not too many appointments left. Most of the tent meetings, what a great work God If all those that come and said that they got saved, at least you had some come saying they got saved. Most of them ain't doing nothing in their churches, just shutting their doors. But you did go out there and try to reach someone. If one of them got to Jesus, ain't it worth it all? But they got to find somebody that wants to do it. You got to find somebody. Your pastor wants to do it. So does Brother Fewitt, Chris. So does Brother Patnall. So do these other men. They want to reach the lost. And many people in the church are supposed to, they say, I'm just coming to church, or that's where I go. Go do nothing. God give you a talent. You on out that night, that lady right there, I don't remember what your name, she got up and testified, it's been years ago. That meeting broke open that night after you testified. Do you remember? It broke open, buddy. You remember that night? She said this. Said, God, I remember it, said, if I don't stay to God, I'll take my talent away from me. Remember, that's what you take my talent away. And I don't want him to take my talent away. Didn't look like he took it away. You did pretty good. Hey, he has revealed his power to you. He's already revealed his power to you. He's no respect of person. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. He's got his arms open. He's sitting there all the time. Just come unto me. Give your life to me. He said, what I've done for others, I'll do for you. But come and take my promises. Come and receive my promises. You've got to come to him. You've got to say, okay, God, I want to be that person. Okay, God, and it ain't complicated. I've been over and over and over in this thing with you because that's the only way I'm going to be able to break in on people's minds and the way they are. They're so set. They're so set in their ways, and they're so hard to any kind of truth. Could God not set a revival in this church, Brother John? It'll come through the young people. It's no secret what he can do. He done it in others. He can do it in you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret. We'll all stand and I'll pray. Lord, in those years back, you know, as we thought on it and as we pleaded with you in these morning hours every day since Shannon's death, and the sleepiness and the shut doors of the churches and the generation that before us and rioting and killing and anger. And they come in, their lives are broken because their minds are confused. And they're asking for help. I pray that, Lord, here, as John has been here for a while, that some of these men will grow and be spiritual. And learn how to restore those that are broken, have fallen, that are in the place they're at, and have the spirit of meekness when he go to them. And have wisdom about what to say, and then not to condone the sin, but not cause it in a matter of them to be refusing to what's right. Help this church to grow now, Lord, after the summer season of all that he's done and the labor that they have done. And now he's gathered back in with just his people that are here now, and it's Christmas time. And Lord, could it not be for him as it was for me as a kid? Still like it is in the churches now. that come around Christmas time. It was a wonderful time at the house of God. The virgin birth and the baby in the manger. The little girls were carrying around the babes in the manger and the mothers. And thinking about Mary. And then there were some Josephs, you know. And there was such a means in her heart. And they would sing the carols and they would sing them. And then, Lord, that those young people that we would go around caroling to houses. And they loved to stand on the side of that wagon and just cry, sing songs, the good songs. And them older ones that couldn't get out, they'd go to the nursing homes. And they had such a joy about them older ones. They'd see the joy in those young people. And they would bless their hearts. They would bless those older ones that couldn't get out. And it would bless the kids because they could see they were blessed. Please let John's church, let it get back to the simplicity of Christ. The simple living, the simple loving. Caring one for another and being a family here. Stabilize the families. Some of these men, they get stable. And some of the young men, they will learn the Word of God. And I'll thank you, Lord, for this day. And I come with all my heart to, you know where I'm at in it, God. You know everything about what's taking place with me. And so, may we just give this day to you, holy, every bit of it. Just give it all to them. And may I come as they have received me or even think upon me as one that cares for them, that loves them and cares for them. I can even stand in the place of some of these preachers. You know. And oh God. Oh God, thank you for what you've already done with me and Brother John in all the years. And we've seen a lot of things, God. But let this church be a light in this community as this family, that lady that testified last night about thinking it's a cult. That's what they told me was a cult in Harriman, Tennessee. The tabernacle was nothing but a cult. Take us, Lord. Let us give this day. I give myself to it. I'll be able to go and sit in a minute. But God, when the days that we would leave the church at home and we'd go to a house and my mama would have the meal ready because we wouldn't, she'd have it ready. And we couldn't do nothing. We was waiting on going to church that night. We already knew that was the Lord's day. Our dad said, it's the Lord's day. This is His day. Let's give it to Him, every bit of it. May even come back tonight and whatever that the Lord might. I got all kinds of outlines. My sister, my daughter called God. You know, she called and said, Dad, I'm a praying for you. Danielle said, I'm a praying for you, Brother Harvey. And that's not only for me. She loves Brother John. So help those people. I thank you for them. I thank for these that's come to be working with Him. Let the men become spiritual, God. Let this day, for it's over with. May they come back tonight and I wouldn't even get to preach because they get so turned up and maybe some of the young ones would want to testify. We have to pry a testimony out of us. They were coming ready to say and get in the matter of it and the boys to sing and pray. And give this day to God. Then tomorrow we go to work. But we love you and we thank you for it. And we thank you for the privilege to preach. And God, whatever it might be that would go out the door, that let us go out the door reconning, respecting to come back to God's house and worshiping. Maybe it just takes this to revive or to keep on till the people of God wake up. Arise out of your deadness. And God will give you light. And Jesus, I'll thank you for it. And I'll give my time to you today afternoon and tonight. And I know about preaching, Lord. But I'm not going to get away from that. I'm going to preach whatever you let me preach. And say to the churches what needs to be said as God would lead. We need that. I know it not been any pleasant because it tells us where we're at. I need your touch, God. I need it. You know, I groan for it. Even in prayer, I don't even have the prayer. I don't pray, you know. I tried to pray a little bit, Lord, you know, this morning here on the altar. But it's still silent. There's no groaning. There's no calling with God within me. Oh, God, you know. And I can't expect something if I'm not praying for it. So, may we finish this hour and these moments. And God started, you've already got a start with these people. May they take another step with Brother John. They worked hard this summer. Now, Lord, why don't they rejoice in their families and come together as a family and love each other here at the home and have your way. I pray in Jesus' name.